Welcome back to Rome Boys. On this episode, who's your daddy?
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer? Our survey says God!
Who's your daddy?
Yeah,
God the Father, right?
God the Father. That's, yep. This episode starts our series of catechetical
faith formation.
Faith formation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for future episodes.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind everybody to help support us. Just go ahead and click that subscribe button and show us that you love us.
And, please, we need help.
We need help. Show us that you appreciate what we're doing here. Yeah. So, God the Father, who is he?
Yeah, God the Father, the creator of the universe, right? So the one that we wouldn't be here without him. The world wouldn't be here. You know, praise God for the life that we have because he made us. You know, and we should give credit. I think lots of times people focus on Jesus, which is huge. Like, he's important. He came to earth. But the Father, I would say, he gets some attention. Jesus gets a lot of attention. The Spirit gets very little. So we're hoping to draw more
middle
attention.
Middle child, that middle child.
Maybe that's it.
Right. Well, it's like when you think about it, who do you pray to?
Right.
When you're saying your
God.
Daily prayers, nightly prayers, you're praying to, in general.
Yeah.
God in general.
Yeah. But you hit all three, right?
But, right.
Yeah.
A lot of times, Jesus, please pray for so-and-so. But the Holy Spirit gets a little love.
I like the analogy of how, like, on a stage, you have the main actor and you have the director. And you have the person that does the lights, right? And so we're putting God the Father on center stage right now, you know? And so the lights, is it the Holy Spirit or the directors, Jesus, whoever it is? But when you pray to one, you're praying to all three, but we'll focus on the Father today. So
Let's focus on God the Father.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because God is kind of easy to talk about in general terms,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, there's many religions that have God as
sure.
the focus, mm-hmm. whatever they make.
Maybe this
call
distant God.
God
far away.
Yeah, this deity, really. Mm-hmm. It's just a very generic word.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's something that we've defined as, you know, a human race as to be those three letters.
Mm-hmm.
And but let's get to define it by God the Father, because that's,
right.
I think, what separates us from a lot of other religions.
Right, a personal relationship with him is the goal, right?
Excuse me, do I know you?
Not as well as I'd like.
And he wants that with us as well, too.
It's true.
So if he's some distant deity or a master or some clockmaker, the philosopher has said that is going to wound the clock and just let it be, you know, later on, you know, we'll talk about that. But he's personal. He sent his own son to show us how personal he is.
Yeah.
How do we get to know the Father?
Yeah, so obviously we're going to get into that today, but, you know, reading the scriptures is a great start. Old Testament, you know, he's obviously in the New Testament as well, and Jesus speaks about him. And so we'll start with the paragraph 27 in the Catechism. It says, "The desire for God is written on the human heart." St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord." Now, that's just St. Augustine, who went through all of these sins, right? He tried all the sins of the flesh and the world and what it gives, and he was still missing something. So our hearts are filled when they're filled with God, and when God, and God is overjoyed.
Mm.
But like a father, he allows us to have that freedom to decide what we want to do. You know, you're my son. You know, I let you decide what you want to do. He so respects our freedom that he lets us not even spend eternity with him if we choose that. And God willing, he's saying, please don't choose that. He invites us. He wants us to be saved through his son, Jesus.
And it seems like we think of God as very controlling when, in fact, it's the opposite.
No.
Here's the keys.
Here's
don't
the
mess
freedom.
It up.
Yeah. Right, right.
I think just listening to what you're explaining there, the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son just immediately popped in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking of the father, just focusing on him. We know what the son did
sure.
and the other son did, but focusing on the father.
Yes.
you know, he let his son go. Mm-hmm. He let him venture off and to try his things the way he
gave
wants
him
to
his
do things.
Inheritance early and everything.
Yeah, yeah, right, just right. Let
which
him
basically
have
meant like you're good as dead to me.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty darn low.
Yeah. I want my inheritance basically translates into I wish you were dead.
Yeah.
Oh, that was way harsh.
And then it says later on that the father watched every day for him to return. Every day he sat there and waited at the gate, hopefully. Yeah. And then whenever he did return, it showed that it says that he ran to him.
Yes.
And to make the point, to drive the point home, back then in that era, the men of the tribe or the head of the city, they don't run.
Yeah.
Men did not run. So this was an important passage. It's just something small in there, but it meant something. That meant that, you know, this man of prestige was lowering himself to run to his son.
The scriptures are so deep, right? Yeah, the depth of it, and it's
God
meaning.
Loves us that much, you know. Like, and he puts a ring on his finger and a robe on him and a fine feast for him and everything else. Yeah. And like, this is our God, you know. And if we can tap into that, the beauty, the love that he shows us, that's awesome. So thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
And you know, we touched on it a second ago, but you know, there's other religions like Islam where if it's master and slave, and there is no relationship there. Mm-hmm. You bow, and there's a disconnect.
Obedience,
You'll be judged, and you better wait for it, and it's coming. So you better do good things and have your name on a water well, so that your blessings can continue after you're dead. Because I'm judging you, and I think that's what a lot of us might perceive God to be, is that judge,
right
up in the clouds.
Or God of wrath in the Old Testament. You mess with God, this is what happens to you. You know?
I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right.
A mafia or something like that. That's not God. You know? You know. And if we pray to him like Moses does in the scriptures and he begs for intercession, Abraham begged that Sodom and Gomorrah wouldn't be destroyed. Yeah. God listens to our prayers, and he will be repentant and merciful to us and loving to us if we ask him. But that's that relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, we will be judged, and we need to know that too. But so, both sides of the coin.
Amen. So what are some proofs for God, reasons and revelations for...
Oh, don't look at me.
Oh, come on.
You're
come
the
on.
St. Thomas Aquinas expert. You know, that's your favorite saint.
Well, he's a patron saint.
Can we know God the Father through reason?
Interestingly, yes.
And the Catechism says that.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And there's some great points there for sure. But I think hopefully we think a little bit deeper about the existence of God, because when you look up at the stars, you see all this beauty and, you know, like diamonds in the sky and the earth and everything around us. Then you can be more compassionate and see like babies and puppies and, you know, all these things that we love. This creation of the world that kind of tugs on our heartstrings. But
all you puppy lovers out there, subscribe.
Yeah, my children. One day I'll have one. Maybe that'll be the Jesus in me, not the God the Father in me. But,
just let your kids have a puppy.
But yeah, I mean, if we desire justice, as an example, in our hearts, and yet we know that the world is not completely just, there must be something beyond this world. So God gave us that initial desire. When we see things that are so grandiose and great, we think about how the Big Bang Theory, you know, and the creation of, you know, from molecules to collide and create this world. There has to be something that pushed... the question is, well, where did God come from? Who created God? My philosophy teacher in college said, Chris, it comes a point where you have to stop looking like you're 3 years old by asking, why, why, why?
How come you ask so many questions?
I've only been around 5 years. There's a lot of stuff I don't know.
And his point was that there has to be a first mover, an immovable mover.
Right.
I remember a... political guy on radio, he made the point. He said, if you believe in the Big Bang, you have to believe in the Big Banger.
Yeah. You know, who banged the Big Bang?
Somebody has to be holding the gong. You know, it hits the gong. You know, so that's God. That was his point.
You could, you get to a point where it's just, the word is vacuous, where it has, you're going beyond logic and reason. We were giving intellect and logic and reason for a purpose, so that we could get a glimpse into God's all-knowing self, right? So I don't want to dive too deep into it, but I mean, you just think
there. You can.
Thomas Aquinas has 5 points, KVA in Latin.
And then he has A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3 off of those points. So he has really more than five, but it's true. 4 or 5 subjects.
Yep. So, but somebody had to push that first domino. Here's an interesting analogy beyond the domino analogy. It's one of the 5 points is called the contingency theory. So if things exist, they also did not exist at one point. Right. Okay, so follow me for just a second. If I have 1 million quarters in my hand, that's a really, really big hand, but if I have 1 million quarters in my hand, logic says and statistics prove if I could flip them all indefinitely for eternity, at one point they're all going to land on heads.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay. Here's the reason I tell you this. So if the world didn't exist and it did exist, there is a possibility, statistically speaking, to say that the world didn't exist and therefore it will exist. So how do I bring this back to the coin? Well, God was the I Am. He is the I Am. It's beyond all time and space. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing. And then there was the world that he created. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying is that I can take nothing and I can create it all at once.
Yeah, out of nothing creates. Of nothing. Yes. Yeah.
An interesting Latin phrase is ex nihil nihil fit.
Yes.
From nothing, nothing comes. Uh-huh. So therefore, there had to be something there.
Yes.
Right.
God had to be there.
Right.
Great. I think I got it. But just in case, tell me the whole thing again. I wasn't listening.
So you can say that, like, the material world, God created the material world, but God's not material. He's immaterial. He's just a spirit who just created something from nothing because he is all powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He has no limits. He's ultimate. Mm-hmm. You could say that, you know, time is also a limitation for us.
Right.
Time is a limitation.
We're within it.
So that's where we get the whole he's outside of time,
right.
because that would be a limitation on him. Time would be greater than him if he was part of time. Okay, we're getting too deep here.
You just blew my mind.
talking about going deep, and in science, whenever you get down to the smallest particle that we as humans can see, what we know is at that point there's actually energy between those two particles, and we can recognize that energy in the most highest powered microscope. So my point is that energy, what is it that keeps us connected? It's something that is also intangible. So just because we may think of God as intangible and we can't just put our hand on him, like Jesus, they touched his robe and there was a miracle there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the robe that saved it. It was that which is what God created, that intangible thing. So love. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily something that we can feel. So that's why God is love.
Mm-hmm.
It's that intangible thing that binds us. It's that energy between the particles. He is the great I Am.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. I just get so excited talking about such.
Yeah, well, he's God, right?
Yeah. Such, yeah. Okay, so like, I think it was Aquinas that said that God is existence itself.
You know, we were talking God is existence.
Is existence itself.
That universal spirit that animates and binds all things in existence.
So, you know, when we talk about, God is everywhere, he's in everything, you kind of get the thought in your head, well, okay, there's a little piece of him there, there's a little piece of him there, but that's not what he's saying here. He is existence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like to tell
that gets into a heresy where God is in the table and God is in the book and God is in the flag. And
But he is existence. Everything exists because of him. Mm-hmm. I like to tell my kids, you know, that God is thinking about you. The reason you exist.
At all times.
At all time, he is thinking about you. So if God were to stop thinking about you,
bye-bye,
you would just disappear.
So, because your existence would not be in his mind.
Right. He stops thinking about you, you're just gone. You just disappear. Your past, your present, your future is all just wiped away. It just doesn't exist anymore.
I wish
which
I could do that.
Which kind of brings that whole warm, fuzzy feeling inside. It's like, God's thinking about me all the time.
You just made my day.
You're such a sweet farmer, Jay. I wish I could do that to the cats that keep coming to my doorstep. Like, I'm just going to not think about you anymore.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier, God is love, right? And I think that word love doesn't necessarily always equate with God. You know, like we think of more of a God of judgment, one that has this wrath, like I said earlier. But love and God are the same.
Yeah.
He loved us so much to send his Son, the Holy Spirit, to give us life. to keep us breathing, you know, like, you know, to give us, you know, give us the opportunity to go to heaven. I mean, everything he does, he acts out of love.
It's true. And you, out of Jesus's mouth, when the disciples were asking, how do we pray? What the first two words, our Father. So even Jesus, the Son.
The majority of the time, he pointed to the Father.
The Father.
Which is how we know, I mean, not to say that God is a gender, but we call him Father because Jesus called him Father.
We don't call him Jesus. What would Jesus do?
That's right.
Nothing against mothers. Goodness gracious.
Not at all.
So back to our point, you know, we can reason our way to God. And we can also have revelation. So both our intellect and our free will and our body and our soul. This is what makes a human being. Body, soul, intellect, and free will. And so our bodies are oriented, our intellects controls our bodies so we do good. Our free will helps us to decide good from evil, and our soul is hopefully geared towards heaven. We can do all those. So the mind hopefully lifts up the soul, helps us to make it to heaven, and our free will, our choices help us to get there. So the point is God the Father loves us so much, gives us these four attributes or these four characteristics of who we are as human beings, and we hopefully do the good, right? Follow him as much as we can. And then the other point,
because without him, that we have no purpose, right?
Right.
That's a fact.
Like, it's just, we're worm
dirt. Is the point of life, right?
What's the point? Yeah. Exactly. What it comes down to is what's the point? So how does man find happiness in God?
Prayer, seeking him out, asking, you know, like the best prayer there is God, do you exist? Are you real? What is my purpose? Why did you put me here? What can I do to give you glory in this life? You know, what's my point of existence today? Or I fell down the stairs, you know, what good can come from this, God? We can find God in we talked about earlier, in the design of the world and the beauty of all these things and goodness itself and truth by seeking truth and reading a good, you know, novel or going by a waterfall. And wow, how beautiful this is. These things can remind us of God.
Be happy. You know, that translates to me and just being happy and thankful and joyful in the simple things to know that God is with us at all times. You know, he created this planet for us and put Adam right there in the midst of it all, right? In this beautiful garden.
Or taking that time to breathe. So you're in the middle of the day and you have lunch. Thank you, God, for this food. We just woof it down and we're done, right? Yeah. Or you pause and you didn't get in a car wreck. I mean, like, all these things, like, take a breath and let God breathe through into you. You know, like, I mean, invite him into your day. Invite him into the little moments throughout the day. Mm-hmm.
Include him in all the good things and not to forget him in the bad things.
Right, so, right.
Like you were saying earlier, you know, there are a lot of times when something goes wrong, it's like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me?
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting it. I'm getting frustrated. I'm not getting it. What are you trying to teach me?
The other day, like, praise God, when you get hurt, I'm just like, why did I say that? It's become a habit, but it's great. I'm like, okay, where is God in this evil, in this bad moment, in this temptation, whatever it is? God is there. He's everywhere.
And remember, God came in the form of man because of his compassion and love for us, right? Mm-hmm. He sent his only son. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about Jesus, you know, in a future episode. And we talk about him in every episode, but specifically Jesus.
Like we should.
The son, yeah. But what does it mean in practice for a person to believe in God? So in the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it means to adhere to God himself. What does that mean? It means entrusting oneself to him. We talked about this a moment ago before this episode, which was surrender.
Yes.
That's what's tough for us, right?
Yes.
Like there's this God in the sky. How do we surrender to him? And I would say our conscience has a lot to do with that. Whenever God saved the world through suffering, right? Through suffering, our salvation. We need to suffer.
To let go of control.
Yeah.
I want you to decide what's right for me. I surrender to your will.
Right? Yeah. To choose to go to Mass, not because I'm supposed to, or it's a mortal sin.
Yeah.
Or because my wife wants me to go, or my kids, or it's the right thing to do, but because I surrender my life to you, God.
Yeah.
And I give you this 1 hour. Isn't there 167 hours in a week? Something like that. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
But one for him.
And nobody's perfect at it, but don't we struggle with that?
Yes.
I mean, quite a bit, really, just giving ourselves.
Well, that's what Ricardo, I think, says several times. He said, you want to see faithful people, Catholics who want to be at Mass, go to a daily Mass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sundays are required, so people are just kind of checklist. But if you want to see faithful, go to a weekly mass because mm-hmm. they want to be there.
Right. They're choosing to.
Yeah, they're choosing to be there.
They're choosing on Sunday too, but it's but hopefully a better motive. Uh-huh.
So it's entrusting oneself to him and giving assent to all the truths which God has revealed. So giving God credit where it's due. Mm-hmm. And it means to believe in one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it is really living him out in practice is sacrificing and believing. It's quite simple. I didn't say it's easy, but it's quite simple. So we're here talking about God the Father. So I want to hear more about this Father.
And even on that note, I'm reminded we're all fathers, right? And we're trying to, in an infallible way, you know, not infallible, a fallible way, I should say, to try to be like him.
Which means a broken way.
Right? Yeah. We are broken, right? And we mess up, you know, but like we're trying to protect our children. We're trying to love them. We're trying to get them on the right path. You know, this is all the things that God the Father's trying to do as well, you know, except we're just, in a limited way. And
I know he's more patient than I am.
Yeah.
I can relate. He's outside of time. It's easy for him.
It's easy for him. He's perfect. Yeah. That's right. So God the Father wants us to be happy in this life and the next. That's his ultimate goal. He wants you to be happy now and forever. That's what we want for our kids, and that's what God the Father wants for his children.
Which is, you're either in the presence of God, and he's in your thought and in your mind, or you're separated from God, mm-hmm. right? Those are two
By
things.
Your own doing.
Yes, and so that's where we get into the mortal sin mm-hmm. and grave sin, which mm-hmm. separates us from his grace.
He's still there knocking at the door.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey!
Yep, always seeking. Always
we can dive
seeking.
Into the sins later in another episode. But so God desires all of us to be saved.
Wasn't Amen.
1 Timothy 2:4.
Yes.
He desires all men to be saved.
Everybody. Every
so
woman.
What's the holdup?
Yeah. I know. Doesn't everybody want to be saved?
We're on the clock. He's not.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Again, outside of time, he's more patient.
Yeah. He's coming back, too, I heard.
Yeah, something like I've that. Heard yeah. that, too.
Second coming. Yeah. So,
he wants us to be saved. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to be happy. He wants the best for us. But we have to give our life to him.
Well, those that were in the desert, you know, for 40 years, they needed a golden cow to worship because they felt separated. And, mm-hmm. and even when, you know, Moses left and it's like, I just left you for a little while. Why are you doing all this? And so
they needed something tangible. They needed something to be, to see, to hold on to. They needed something physical, a material.
But even when he gave them manna, something to eat, they were like, I'm tired of this.
And he gives us the Eucharist as Catholics.
Yeah.
Here's the physical. Mm-hmm. You know, God, here you
so
go.
Whiny.
It's so true, right? When you think about
it. I complain all the time.
One definition in the catechism, if you have a catechism in the Catholic Church and you get the green edition, the second edition, there's a glossary in the back and has all these big words that are just, what the heck do these words mean?
Yeah, you gloss over it.
And there you go. And you can find them in the catechism. And one word, obviously, it's a huge one. It's the most important one for our section today is faith.
I knew it.
Right? So faith, both a gift of God and a human act by which the believer gives personal adherence to God who invites his response and freely assents to the whole truth. Now, it goes on like a lot more, but so, we're going to stop there, okay?
A gift?
It's a gift, you know? Gift. Here you go. Happy birthday. You know, it's a gift. Here you go. You can choose to accept it and unwrap it and keep it, or like think of a conveyor belt, it can just go down into the trash can. We can choose to keep it. We can also lose the gift. So you can keep it, but if our faith can be lost, if we don't nurture it, we don't continue to grow in it. And it's, like I said, a gift, and we are invited to accept the gift, or we can say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And so that's...
So it's kind of like a plant, right? If you somebody gives you a potted plant, you can put it in the window where everybody can see it, and
water
the light
it.
Shines on it, and then water it.
Talk to it, sing to it.
Take it. Yeah, right, right.
Yep. So it's a work all in itself, mm-hmm. in its essence. Mm-hmm. I've heard also faith described this way, you know, faith in God is leaning on him so much that if he wasn't there, you'd fall over.
Nice. I like that.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
Leaning on him so much, relying on him so much that if he wasn't there, you'd fall
it
over.
It reminds me of an old V8 commercial. Remember that, guys?
And I like the movie Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. And he's seeking after the Holy Grail. And he has to get across this abyss, right? You remember the scene? You know, we might even have it as a clip, right?
The invisible steps.
Right. Yeah. And he literally takes a step. And he knows that there's an invisible bridge there. He can take a step and there's a bridge there, but he can't see it. And he looks down, I can die. And taking that step.
It's a leap of faith.
But at the same time, as Catholics, we know that he is there. We know the bridge is there. So it's that reason and revelation again there going on.
Yeah, I've even struggled with this. That's why the proof of the existence of God, that's why they were pointing at me at that question.
can prove it.
Yeah, I think it comes down to something that's, for some, and maybe for me, it might be even embarrassing to say that, you know, I think we all, God, are you really up there?
We're questioning it a lot. Yeah. Times, so especially when something bad happens. It's like, God, why is this happening?
Yeah. That's why people go back to church after 9/11. Right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. So, and I used to think of it as dangerous. And oh my goodness, why am I questioning the existence of God? But
Flannery O'Connor, faith grows by asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So it's okay, I would say, but when you stop asking the question. Because then you don't even recognize God's existence. And Father James Misko, I mentioned to you, Tony, quite a bit. He was a priest at Christ the King in Belton, Texas. And he would always start our prayer before Mass with, God, we come before you to say that you are God and we are not. Mm-hmm. So just the act of...
Put us
just,
in our place. Yeah, and him and his.
Mm-hmm. Might be a shock to some people.
Yeah.
So a simple prayer, just you don't even have to say anything, but just close your eyes and know that he's there and just recognizing his existence. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what we're doing here today. We're talking about God and this grandiose topic. It's why we're all here. It's a very intangible thing, and it's a big thing to put your arms around. But yeah. I hope that these points are helping, and I know we have some more.
But I think, yeah, putting your arms around it, think about that with our kids, right? You know, like the father gives a huge hug to his kids, you know, like that's the father that loves us.
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
And he wants to hug us. I mean, I would say look in the mirror today and look at yourself and God loves you. I'd say this to my students, you know, like God loves you. Look in the eyes you know, of a picture, of a Jesus picture, and like, he loves us so much, you know. Yeah. I don't think, I would say 99.9% of people don't believe that.
Really?
I don't think so. I think we don't, in the depths of our heart, our mind, we've been taught, our teachers have told us.
Ourselves that, but in our hearts, do we actually believe
it? I'll be honest, like, I try to tell myself that, but I still question, you know, or I don't fully believe, and I think that's what the saints do. They fully believe.
They're loved.
That they are loved by God, and God will, you know, nothing's impossible for God. He can do anything through them, and then they're a trailblazer. Like, they can go out and just change the world with God's grace, with God's love.
It's true, and we're going to remind you of that today, that God actually loves you individually. Mm-hmm. It might seem a little wishy-washy.
We love you, too.
Yeah.
Don't forget to subscribe.
We want to party in heaven together, right?
Yeah.
You're like,
this is going to because it is going to be a joyous feast.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be,
yes.
What does it look like to have the God the Father in your life? I mean, what do we need to do?
It changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you need to change your life according to that. You need to live it out in a way that says, "You're my daddy."
Yeah.
I'm going to do things because it says one of the commandments: honor thy father and thy mother, not just your earthly one.
Yeah. I think of, let's give props to Father Donald Calloway.
Interesting. Who is this?
You know, has the greatest conversion story in modern times, I would say.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great.
And like, he just basically, like, so look up his books, his video, No Turning Back, he's awesome, he's amazing. Props to him. And he's doing great things for the Lord, and he's a priest now. But long story short, I can just remember from his story, he's taking all of his stuff, you know, his paraphernalia, his clothes and everything. And he's just taking in trash bags. He goes, I don't got time for this. I've given my life to God. And he's heaving it. He's just chucking it outside. And he's like, I don't care. World, you take it. I don't care anymore. Like, I'm giving my life to God. Talk about a conversion. You know, talking about giving your life fully to him. It's beautiful to see how God can change someone so radically away from God. Talk about mortal sins and how many he had, and then change for the good of God. Praise God, you know?
Amen. Yeah, and we balance this out every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have the comforts of this world, and mm-hmm. we're scared to lose them. And even our country, you know, the way that it's going,
to it, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we cling to it. Mm-hmm. It's we don't want to think like, oh well, that's just almost close to you've gone insane, like it. But Jesus was radical.
He was radical.
Yeah, to cling to this world that's passing, and we know we're going to die. Isn't it insane to think that we're supposed to be here forever and just hold on to it? Like, you know, and be afraid of death? Like, you know, like if we're in the state of grace, we should be ready.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference between believers and non-believers is that the non-believers, they're clinging on to this life, holding on to it for dear life because they don't believe in anything else.
Right.
They don't That's truly believe know. There's anything after that. Where a believer knows this ain't it. Yeah. This is not the end. We weren't made for this. This is not home.
And we have to tell everybody that, you know, because every soul is thirsting, like we talked about. We need to spread that gospel. You're unhappy. We're all unhappy, but God can fill us now and later.
As the father in the prodigal son story, he's sitting there waiting on the gate. He's sitting there waiting for us. He's looking for us, waiting for us to turn our lives around, to come into his direction instead of our own.
Yeah, God spoke to us from the very beginning, and he said he is the Word, you know, right there in Genesis. Mm-hmm. He actually spoke to Adam, and then Adam spoke back to him.
Yeah.
Said, I want a woman, right, or something better to...
complete him.
Yeah, to complete his existence.
For the conversation and a relationship from the start.
Yep.
Right? That's what God wants.
And then Adam hosed him.
This is true. But still, God showed up and he was there. He's hiding.
Never left.
Always there. Always by our side. You know? Yes.
So, yeah.
Like the poem Footprints, you know, carrying us or walking with us. You know, he's always there, our side. I would say the greatest verse in the Old Testament, so maybe you guys disagree, that's all right. And if you do too, that's fine. But at least for the Jews, man, this is huge. So, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, and it goes on. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Now, that's a big statement right there, that you're it, God, you're number one. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Whoa. That's
exhausting.
A great mission statement for today and forever. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today. Don't just leave it here. Let it sink into here. Drill them into your children. Whoa. Now, so first of all, I got to let it... believe it in my head, in my heart, and then pass it on. Drill it into your children. Speak of them at home and abroad, so don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with others. Whether you're busy or at rest, we're all busy, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in America. Bind them at your wrist as a sign, and let them be a pennant to your forehead. So have you ever seen the Jews in the Holy Land? And they have this little black box attached to their head, and they're going, and they're praying back and forth. That's that. For those verses... crumbled up, I guess, folded nicely into that little thing. And I've been to the Holy Land, and like we as Catholics have holy water, and we dip our hands in there. In the Holy Land, they have it in Hebrew, those words by the doorpost, and literally you touch it as you go into a restaurant, go into a person's house.
Wow.
Those words are key for Catholics, for Protestant Christians, for Jews, for all of us, that God is number one. Drill it into your children,
drill it into your children.
And to yourself, your heart, and your soul.
Yep.
Wow.
I like to say that, you know, we don't have to change what we're doing in our lives. You know, we don't have to change our careers or anything like that, but we need to make God number one in the things we're already doing.
Right.
Yeah. Just be real.
Put him first.
Right? I mean, just be real.
Yeah. Be the saintly farmer that you're called to be, and the husband, and father.
That's difficult. Especially in a drought.
Right.
It's too hot.
Yeah. Be yourself in the position that God's put you in the vocation you're called to, in the way that, but put God first. Yeah,
you don't have to go to some foreign land. You don't have
to be a missionary and
change your career. You don't.
You don't have to be a missionary in another country. How about being a missionary in your own neighborhood?
In your own home, right?
Let's start there.
When you said that, Einstein said, you don't understand it if you can't explain it to a child.
And that's the way, we like it. Mm-hmm.
So that verse very much backs that up. So from heart, or from head to heart to your children. So mm-hmm. you've got to internalize it and make it simple in your life.
And possibly put it on a stone in the front door. You see it every day.
You know, or a plaque or chisel on the wall.
There you go. Yeah, order it. Yep.
That'd be a bad idea.
So we've talked about a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father.
Yep.
I just want to share one last thing from what I prepared, and that is actually nothing that was prepared at all, but that, you know, for most of my life, I didn't have a father until I was in my 20s. And so I always knew there was something missing. Not only was there not just that man in my home, you know, and my mom to have a husband there, but something that was missing on the other half of who I am, like where did I get all of my intellect? There's not much, but
whatever.
thanks, but you know, where did these things come from? You know, my hair becomes an afro, and my mom doesn't have an afro. But
so, do you want it to grow in an afro? Subscribe. Yeah. No.
So it's just interesting to it's so simple for me because I always desired a father. And
don't we all?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have it. So what made it so simple was somehow at a very young age, I turned to God. Mm. And I see that only as a gift. I think I said to you one time, it's a cheat code. Like I was simply able to look beyond the material world at a father, right to God. And mm-hmm. I don't know who handed me that first Bible or that first scripture verse. I know that my meemaw, she had the Serenity Prayer on her wall, nice. You know, in cross stitch. It was probably in orange and brown and all those great, you know, 80s colors. But
shag carpet.
Yeah. So the way that we seek God is going to be different for everyone.
Right.
Absolutely. And so I think a lot of it is what we're missing in our life. Mm-hmm. And so we look to fill that gap, right? That mm-hmm. void that you talked about at the very beginning. So
everybody's got a different journey, a different path to take.
Yeah.
We all make maybe the same mistakes, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're all seeking in a different way.
Yeah.
And God is always there for us in those ways.
He's working in your life right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially tuning into us.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And if you have any comments, please leave them below. Don't forget to subscribe and share them with your friends. And I guess we'll see y'all in the next
episode. Thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Praise God.
God bless.